Over the past few weeks, we've been considering the seven signs of Jesus that are recorded for us in John's Gospel. Today we come to the fifth sign, Jesus walking on the water. These signs are certainly miracles among the many other miracles that Jesus did. But these are singled out because, like a signature or a signpost, they verify the identity of Jesus, point us in the direction of travel, and gives us a revelation. Our reading is from John 6, verses 16 to 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into the boat and set off across the lake to Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. I'd like to start off by saying what this passage in John's Gospel is not about. It is not the story of Jesus sleeping in the boat with a storm, where the disciples are afraid and they wake Jesus up and he calms the storm. Yes, sometimes Jesus does calm the storm. But this is not a story of Jesus calming the storm. Neither is this the story of the disciples seeing something they can't make out, and Jesus says, "It's me." And Peter says, "If it is you, then call me to come to you." So Jesus calls Peter out to walk on the water. Sometimes Jesus does call us to step out of the boat, but this is not the story of Jesus calling us to step out of the boat. Neither is this the story of the fishermen cleaning their nets and Jesus calling them to leave their boats behind to follow him. Sometimes Jesus calls us to leave everything behind, but this is not the story of Jesus calling us to leave our boat. People who study the Bible in great depths sometimes get bothered by the need to make everything fit neatly together. Here's a story of Jesus walking on the water. Is this a time when Jesus called Peter to step out of the boat? Perhaps it was. But sometimes the writers of the Gospels simply want to stress a particular point and write their account from that perspective. So instead of trying to draw other boat stories into this one, I want us to focus on what John is saying in this particular boat story, without hunting for parallels elsewhere. This is the story of Jesus coming at a rough time in a miraculous way and coming up alongside the disciples, joining them and getting them through that rough time. This is the story of Jesus getting into our boat and giving us peace even in the midst of the storm, teaching us that when we have Jesus with us, we have everything. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and between 6 and 8 miles wide, and is located in a basin 600-700 feet below sea level, making it one of the lowest points on earth. Mountains surround it, and its deep southern end is surrounded by a cliff-lined valley. Cool air from the Mediterranean is drawn down through the narrow mountain passes and collides with the hot, humid air over Galilee, lying over the lake. As a result, the size and shape of this area, a weather vortex can form, suddenly causing violent storms to develop without warning. A person in a boat would not see it coming until it was too late. Most first century fishermen stayed close to the shore around the lake. But this particular evening, the disciples decided to go directly across to the other side. They were probably in a small fishing boat that could hold around 15 people. It would be roughly 20 feet long, 7 feet wide with oars and maybe a small sail, but that wouldn't work in a storm. It could easily capsize the small boat, killing everyone on board. The disciples had left Jesus behind and were on their own in this small boat, struggling with rough weather. It's worth remembering that the disciples hadn't yet been given the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was only with them when he was physically present. At other times, Jesus simply wasn't there at all. He was somewhere else, and they had left him on the other side of the lake. They were on their own. Jesus, later in his ministry, would say that once he had ascended to the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit would be given to live in us. Today, we celebrate Pentecost. That day, 2,000 years ago, when the Spirit was first given to the early disciples, settling on them in power, like flames of fire. Today, we are privileged beyond measure, because no matter the circumstance, we who are his disciples now have the Spirit of Jesus with us, in us, always. We are his, and he is ours. The miracle for the disciples was the fact that Jesus was there when they needed him most, walking on the water. The miracle for those alive today who believe that Jesus existed but don't know him as Saviour is that Jesus was actually walking on the water, not that he was there for them. The miracle for you and me today, who know him as Lord, is that Jesus has joined us. He has joined you and me just as surely as he joined the disciples in the boat that day, yet in an even more miraculous way. Jesus isn't out there walking on a sandbar. It's not an illusion. He's walking on the water. And frankly, that shouldn't come as a surprise to us. In the beginning of the Bible, we read that the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. John had already explained that Jesus was with God in the beginning and that through him all things were made. Why should it surprise us that the one who was there when everything was designed and through whom everything was made, why couldn't he simply command the elements to support him and walk on water? He has the power over everything. Jesus was identifying himself with God, showing us his deity, his power, his authority, and his love and care for the disciples who were on their own in a little boat, struggling against rough seas. Jesus wasn't out on the water wandering aimlessly. He was walking towards the boat. He knows that his disciples need him, and he is there for them. It just happens to be 2 or 3 miles from the shore in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. So in the middle of the night, these seasoned fishermen were afraid. Yes, afraid of the sea, but more afraid of this impossible sight. And Jesus, sensing their fear, immediately calls out, "It is I, don't be afraid." A better translation would be, "I am, fear not. I am, fear not." And the significance of what Jesus said was not lost on John, who wanted this sign of Jesus recorded in just a few short sentences. When God spoke to Moses in a burning bush, he told him to go back to Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of that land. Moses asked, "Who should I say sent me?" And God replied, "Tell them, I am sent you. I am." It was a statement of deity. "I am. Fear not," shouted Jesus across the waves. Jesus, of course, didn't need to get into the boat. He was doing just fine without them or the little boat. It was the disciples who needed Jesus. He didn't exactly need a lift to the shore, did he? Our reading says that after Jesus had identified himself, the disciples were willing to take him into the boat, which seems an odd thing, almost as though they couldn't quite decide whether to leave him out there on the water or not. The New Living Translation says they were eager to let him in the boat, which is probably better. Eager. They wanted him in the boat. They needed him in the boat. One moment they are in the middle of this lake that stretches 7 miles from one side to the other, battling darkness, strong winds, and powerful waves. The next moment, Jesus comes walking to them. They say, "Get in the boat." And then the next thing they know is they've reached the far shore. The storm didn't immediately end when Jesus came to them. We know this because he had to shout to be heard. The waves didn't stop pounding, the wind didn't stop blowing, the sea wasn't calm and still, they were still in the storm. But Jesus saw them through the storm to the other side. John doesn't say that Jesus stilled the storm, only that Jesus got into the boat with them and through the storm brought them safe to shore. Wendell Lovelace, who was a pioneer of Christian radio in the 1920s and 30s, once said, "Jesus Christ is no security against life's storms, but he is perfect security in life's storms." Jesus Christ is no security against life's storms, but he is perfect security in life's storms. In these few short verses, we see Jesus, the King of creation, fully in control. He identifies himself as the I Am, as God Almighty himself. And he came when his followers needed him. This Pentecost Sunday, what else can we do but eagerly welcome Jesus into our boat, into our lives, to fill us with his Spirit, that he might be with us always, regardless of the storms through which we are passing. Nothing is beyond his power. We are his, and he is ours. Yes, he will be with us through everything that comes our way. But he took his disciples to the shore and immediately continued his ministry, pointing them to the task of sharing the good news everywhere and with everyone, so that the blessing and privilege of Jesus' presence may be available to all. It's not so much that Jesus will help us through our current storms, but what we will do after the storm, post-coronavirus. What will we do to meet the hunger in our communities today? Surely it is our opportunity to be in God's stream of provision for the people around us in our day. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. And when I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Amen.